Golf's a weird sport, and you never know what's around the corner, and that's why you always kind of need to remind yourself, and you need to have the people there to remind you that you need to just fight through the bad times. And you know, I sat in the car park in Carnoustie on the Thursday, it's probably, you know, almost like a year ago right to this week, and I cried. My golf wasn't my friend at the time. It was, you know, it was something that it was very becoming very stressful and was weighing on me, and I just didn't like doing it. And look, 12, what a difference a year makes, I suppose.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Shane Lowry, he's magically delicious. One in a bit of a walk. I mean, it got as close as three shots yesterday, but then it just didn't get any closer. On a day where J.B. Holmes, professional golfer, shot 87, Shane Lowry held on to his four-shot lead and won his first major at the British Open. That was a cool story.
And he said the crowd was lovely.
Well, they went nuts for him.
Yeah.
The Northern Irish are going nuts for their Southern friend, their Irishman. Anyway, it was a you know, for a tournament that was a bit of a blowout, it was fun to watch. And nice job by NBC and the Golf Channel, as usual, as Mark Rolfing joins us. Good morning, Mr. Rolfing.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and hello, Chicago.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, my friend. Any thoughts on the Open?
I just thought it was a great Open. You know, I hadn't been to Northern Ireland other than once about 20 years ago, and like a lot of visitors and a lot of Americans I know, it just fell hard for Northern Ireland. We had a really, really good week. The golf course, I thought, was maybe the best of any of the Open rotation outside of St. Andrews, and the people here were just phenomenal. They waited so long to have an Open again, 68 years, and kind of opened up their whole neighborhood to visitors, and it was a really, really cool week.
I got to play it, right? I mean, that's got to be on the bucket list, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it was the greenest links I've ever seen, but also it didn't play totally like a link. So many of the greens are elevated, and you can't really bounce the ball up in a lot of cases. And it was really hard yesterday when the elements came in. It was exactly what Shane Lowry did. You know, he coughed up a four-stroke lead at the U.S. Open at Oakmont with 18 holes to go a few years back, and I really feel like what he needed yesterday was tough conditions, because it made it almost impossible for any of the pursuers to go really low.
Hey, Mark, what do you think happened to Rory McIlroy to start this tournament? Of course, he did kind of bounce back on Friday, but just seemed like a really uncharacteristic performance, especially with so much riding on this for him.
You know, Steve, I feel like Rory McIlroy plays his best golf when he plays with freedom, when he's totally free. A lot of times we see him not start tournaments well, but then by Friday he's just letting it fly, and you know, by Sunday he's coming in the back door for another top five. I thought Rory had more pressure on him than any other player in the field. You know, the weight of a country on him, really, and you know, he hit the first shot out of bounds. I wasn't a big fan of that in-course out of bounds. We saw it catch a couple guys,
yeah,
including Ricky Fowler and J.B. Holmes yesterday. But I felt like Rory played totally free on Friday, nearly made the cut. There was just a lot of pressure on him, and it showed.
Yeah, and I don't want to belabor the point on J.B. Holmes. You know, David Duval's 91 is almost understandable, almost. Because he hasn't played with any regularity, and he hasn't been right for many years. And he's not a regular on tour anymore. J.B. Holmes shooting 87 yesterday caught me off guard, because it didn't appear that he quit during the round, but he lost all neuromuscular control. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
No, he lost track of what he was doing, too. You know, he's a very slow player. And when you're playing in a two-ball with a guy like Brooks Koepka, who plays very fast, I'm pretty sure it became evident to JB as the round went on, you know, that he was having an impact on what Koepka was doing. And that couldn't have been comfortable for him. They counted yesterday the amount of time from when they announced his name on the first tee. It was 62 seconds later, over a minute later, that he actually struck the shot that, of course, ended up out of bounds. And so I think this stigma that he's getting about being difficult to play with is really starting to come to fruition. And I think he's really got to take a look at himself and say, you know what, I'm going to have to be more compatible to these guys I'm playing with. Otherwise, it's going to be really tough. It felt awkward to me watching that twosome yesterday.
He actually plumb bobbed a one-footer earlier this year. That's the kind of thing on a municipal course that would get you in a fist fight. Hey, speaking of local golf, nobody knows Chicago golf better than you, you Chicago kid. How are things going with the design on the South Shore?
You know, things are going really well. The Obama Library seems to be back on track. The Presidential Center and the federal lawsuit has been tossed out. There are still a lot of issues that need to be dealt with down there, but it all seems to be coming together. We've got a new mayor in town, obviously, that has to get acclimated and comfortable with the project. But it just has so many benefits for the community. It's such a feel-good story, I think, going to create a tremendous economic boon to the area. And frankly, Steve, I think if these golf courses down there don't get fixed up, they're 100 years old. They haven't had any capital improvements in 20 or 30 years. I'm really not sure they're going to be sustainable. They need new irrigation systems. They need new training.
Right.
And here's an opportunity to do it. Forget Tiger Woods for a minute. Here's an opportunity for private money come in to do this, and I don't see that happening again. So hopefully things are going to move along, and having Tiger come to town in about 3 weeks for BMW is not going to hurt at all.
Well, and here's the thing. You and Mike Kaiser both are Chicago guys who want this to happen for the community, not just for golf. You know, Tiger doesn't need the money. It's a play to make this a world-class facility on the South Shore, give kids a chance to be outside, enjoy the game. We got to keep pushing for it. All right, BMW, NBC has it. It's only a couple of weeks away. Top 70 players in the world. New course, Medina number 3. Where do you rank Medina number 3 in the world?
You know, I love Medina number 3. You know, the Ryder Cup out there was one of my favorite events ever, other than the outcome. I still don't know how the Americans didn't win that Ryder Cup.
Same here.
But I played about 3 weeks ago out there, Steve, in the Robbie Gold celebrity fundraiser for the Lurie Hospital. And I was worried after the tough spring that we had there and all the wetness and cold and then heat. I thought it was going to be kind of tracked up, but it was really in very, very good shape. And I think moving these FedEx Cup playoffs into August is really going to change the dynamic of those things. They got a tremendous break when the PGA moved from August to May. So now we just completed yesterday the last major of the season. We've got 3 weeks, and I think it's going to do nothing but help the FedEx Cup playoffs. I think that one is going to be a corker in Chicago in a couple weeks.
And building the game, the best way to do that is exposure, and it's tough to fight football. You know, I don't know if you noticed, Mark, but they lost a bunch of trees with lightning and thunderstorms and all the rain and stuff out at Medina. But these guys don't hit the trees like I do.
Or me.
So, hey, good talking to you, man. Great job as always.
Take care, Steve.
There you go. Mark Rolfing, NBC Sports and the Golf Channel.